Chapter 25. The food in my stomach instantly sours. Mike knows. He blocks my path to the bedroom door. His hands are in the front pockets of his jeans. He's amused. "You came back," he states the obvious. Mike Edwards knows. "Bathroom," I say, getting my own obvious statement out there. "Plus, I forgot my phone." Retreating to the far side of his bed, I scoop up my old flip phone. I wave it at Mike before shoving it in my pocket. "Nah. I know what this is really about." He closes the space between us, sauntering, actually, full of himself. "Shit. Okay, how do I get out of this? Shout? Knee his pajog? Or do both?" Mike stops in front of me. I close my eyes, bracing for him to tell me that I'm a rotten spy looking for dirt on his dad. Wet lips mash against mine. "What the hell?" I push him away. "What?" Mike sounds as surprised as me. "You've been hanging all over me tonight." I quickly replay my words and actions. Shit, I did hang on his every word, just not for the reason he thinks. "I saw your face. You're jealous I'm taking Macy to Shagala," Mike says. He appears genuinely confused. "And we aren't teammates anymore." "But we're friends," I say, "ever since you made the best travel teams with Levi." "You were friends with TJ before you guys started snagging."
"TJ wasn't part of Hockey World," I point out.
"Is it because I'm younger?"
"What? No, yes, no."
I'm still trying to make sense of the conversation.
"I've known you forever. You're like a brother to me."
"I am not your brother," he says evenly.
"But Levi, believe me when I tell you I'm not afraid of Levi. This could be our own little secret."
That smirk. I instantly know what Call Me Grant looked like at 17.
"Jamie, I remember only now that I already have a boyfriend. I'm dating Jamie," I say primly.
"Eh, I don't see that going the distance. Seems like someone who's here for a season or two and moves on."
"Maybe I don't want to stick around either."
"Really?" He laughs as if I've said something ridiculous. "I figured you bailed on leaving because you're like royalty around here, connected to everybody out there." He gestures to somewhere beyond. "You're nobody."
Is Mike right?
Is that how it appears to other people? I've always felt a step outside the inside, both in town and on the res.
I'm not interested in you. Not like that. I grasp for a lifeline. But there's lots of girls who do think of you that way.
Is it because you think you're too good for me? His voice lowers menacingly. Because you're not, you know, better than me. This Mike, instantly aggressive, scares me. I scramble for the right words to diffuse his escalating anger. Nothing comes to mind. I want Jamie to come looking for me right now.
"My dad's right," he hisses. "Girls are just distractions. I thought you were different, but you're not."
With a look of disgust, he turns and leaves. This wasn't how I envisioned tonight going. I thought I knew Mike Edwards, my brother's goofy friend and teammate, my former teammate, the tech-savvy guy who set up my new phone tonight. I know that guy. But the one who kissed me and refused to listen to any of my refusals? I don't know who that person is. Is this what will happen over the course of the meth investigation? I'll learn things about everybody I thought I knew? Back upstairs, I stand next to the kitchen island on the edge of the living room. The video is still going. Everyone cheers when Mike blocks a Hail Mary last-second shot by the mud bugs. Jamie approaches. His eyebrows are raised like antenna detecting concern.
"Everything okay?"
he says into my ear. I nod and he continues.
"Then can I put my arm around you?"
I nod again, this time meaning it. His arm slides around to rest casually on my hip. I lean into him, suddenly exhausted.
When it's time to go, Mrs. Edwards returns my mother's crystal bowl, now washed. I thank her for a nice evening. I avoid looking at Mike when the guys do a round of fist bumps.
See you bright and early, Levi says.
I don't want to be around Mike, especially during my morning run.
Hey, I say, I want to increase my mileage, so I gotta slow my pace. But don't let me hold yous back. I'll go on my own.
Can I join you? Jamie asks me.
Ditching us for a girl? Come on, man, Levi says with a huge smile.
I'd really like that, I say. I sit in the back with Jamie for the ride home. He reaches for my hand. I don't pull back.
Mike's parents do this every Sunday night? Jamie asks me.
Yep. Every Sunday during hockey season. Last year it was for our varsity hockey games. I'd have Sunday dinner at the big house in the afternoon and have second dinner at the Edwards's in the evening.
Do Mike's dad and Coach Bobby always do their routine?
Yep. Dinner and a show, I say. Jamie laces his fingers through mine. My body does the opposite of tensing up. I melt from a solid state to liquid.
The dessert your mom made was my favorite. Please let her know.
Your real favorite, I tease.
My real favorite, he squeezes my hand. Man, how cool to analyze the games we just played and their house. I've never been in a place like that. It was like something from a magazine. Do you think we'll get invited back?
I can't help but smile. Jamie has the same level of enthusiasm as a kid experiencing Disney World for the first time. He's played on plenty of hockey teams, I'm sure, and been to plenty of team dinners. What is it about the Sioux Superiors that's so fascinating to him? When Ron pulls into my driveway, I ask if he's tried the new car wash on the business spur. That's our code for asking if it's safe to talk about the investigation in his car. He nods. I took pictures of every bookshelf in Mr. Edwards' home office in the basement. I reach into my bra and feel Jamie shift awkwardly next to me. I roll my eyes as I pull out the camera. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to dig around for any client files that he might be keeping at home instead of in his office. His desk used to be my grandfather's, and I thought the key to the file drawers would be where I remembered, but it wasn't. Ron gives me a long look before saying, "This is helpful. Thank you." I say goodnight and grab the dessert bowl. Jamie gets out too, and we walk together to the front steps.
"Should I kiss you in case your mom is watching?" he whispers.
The front entry light turns on. We laugh. Jamie leans in. His kiss lands on my jaw instead of my cheek.
"Holy!" I drag out the word. "I thought Soups had way better aim than that."
His back is to Ron's car. I'm the only one who sees Jamie's full smile reach his eyes and tug at his scar. I want to kiss it. Instead of analyzing the impulse, I give in. Osmosis combustion. My lips brush his cheek, feeling for the ripple in the smoothness. Jamie's breath catches, sending a delicious tingle through my body. I kiss him. One perfect, soft kiss that moves as his scar is pulled taut from a smile I feel but cannot see. I leave Jamie on my sidewalk as I scale the three front steps in a single leap. Jamie isn't in my driveway the next morning. It's not like him to be late. I've been looking forward to running only with him, especially since kissing him last night. What if he didn't like it? I recall feeling his smile mid-kiss. He liked it. I focus on my prayer. This morning, I asked for Gwe Kawa Dziwin. The irony is not lost on me. Praying for honesty as I deceive people today. Flakes of Sema land on yellow leaves at the base of the poplar tree. Leaves. Falling. The first day of autumn is this week. The fall colors peak early in the UP. The first snowfall generally happens anytime between early October and late December. My birthday is October 1st, less than 2 weeks away. Shit, the weather could disrupt my mushroom hunting at any time. I finish stretching in the driveway as Jamie jogs toward my house. "You're late," I say, meeting him in the road. He mumbles an apology but provides no details. We head in the opposite direction from our usual route. The less I see of Mike Edwards, the better. My pace is close to what we've been maintaining with the guys since fall semester began.
Thought you were going for distance, Jamie says. He keeps up with me easily, barely winded.
Change of plans. Need to get to Duck Island. Look for mushrooms before everything covered in leaves.
You're skipping class?
Think of it as independent study on fungi.
We run upriver toward Sherman Park. It feels good to push myself this hard. The faster we finish, the sooner I can get to the island.
I don't think you should skip classes,
he says as we loop around the parking lot next to a playground along the waterfront.
Why are you still thinking about it?
Because, Donis, when the investigation is finished, you should go back to your life. Put this and everybody involved out of your mind. Play hockey at Michigan or go somewhere new. Don't let this investigation change everything for you.
I halt. The nerve of Jamie giving me advice about change when he's the one who changed. From last night to today. My anger has an afterburn of embarrassment as I recall impulsively kissing his scar last night.
What?
He says, jogging back to me. His clueless expression infuriates me.
Everything is changed. I take pleasure in Jamie flinching at my words. It changed the instant Travis shot Lily.
I manage to say between breaths,
no, before that, when he pulled the gun from his jeans. No, when my uncle died. Or when he began acting strangely because he was helping yous.
I stare coldly at him. And there is no college hockey for me.
Jamie thinks I should play hockey at U of M. As if my life could ever go back to the before.
Why is that?
That info is off limits to you.
I repeat his words from the meth weekend in Marquette. He doesn't get to know about the foolish decision that changed my future. After all, Jamie is only here temporarily. Once the investigation is finished, he will go back to his life too. I sprint the rest of the way home. Unlike the night he chased me down a dark road on Sugar Island, Jamie doesn't catch up. This time, he lets me go. My mother is walking to her car when I finish my run. She blows a kiss to me so as not to get drenched by my sweat. When Mom reverses out of the driveway, she rolls down her window to wave at Jamie, who waves back.
My girl bested you today, she declares proudly.
She sure did. His smile is pleasant, but doesn't tug at his scar. Jamie doesn't join my cool down, but he also doesn't leave. He stands there, watching me.
Donis, I think I should run with the guys from now on.
Oh, more change.
Don't let the pretender know he got under your skin, I tell myself.
They're starting to treat me like more than just a teammate, he says quickly. It would be good for me to hear their stories. Get more info that could help the investigation.
Sure, I say, keeping my voice breezy. No problem.
I motion awkwardly toward my house.
Well, I gotta shower and catch the ferry. Hallucinogenic mushrooms await.
I don't look back as I limp up the front steps.
Hallucinogenic mushrooms await? You're such a geek. Lily, I think my fake relationship is over for reals.
I make good progress by Friday late morning. Not that I found an unknown mushroom, but I'm near the North End. I could finish today, if not for three things. First, the leaves are slowing me down. Every day this week, there have been more leaves on the ground, a magnificent carpet of color that makes it take longer to get through each cross section. Second, I stop each day at 11, race to the ferry, pick up Granny June on the mainland, and bring her to lunch as usual. My break cost me nearly 3 hours of prime daylight. It's worth every minute. I made a bargain with myself. I can be deceitful about my whereabouts, let people assume I'm at class or in the library, as long as I take care of Granny and help the elders. I avoid Auntie, because I'm not a good enough actor to maintain my deception in front of her. She texts and calls every day, asking me to come over. Each time, I text back a false excuse. Studying, spending time with Jamie, doing something for Granny June or my mother. It's hard, and I miss sleeping over with Pauline and Perry, but I know that she would immediately sniff out that something was off. Auntie doesn't miss a thing. Today, there's a third reason keeping me from completing my mushroom research. I need to catch the ferry as soon as lunch is served to meet Ron at the loading spot for the booster bus. It's a 5-hour trip to Green Bay, Wisconsin, where every team in the league participates in a showcase weekend of games. Operation Secret Squirrel is going on the road. Granny June and I enter the dining room, which seems more crowded than usual. They must be serving liver and onions today. I don't know why spongy cow organ always brings every Nokomis and Meshomis from all corners of Chippewa County. It just does. I freeze upon seeing Auntie next to Minnie Mustang. The room falls silent. Everyone watches me. Even Sini Nimke eyeballs me from across the room. Auntie motions me over. Shit. This looks like an intervention. What the hell did I do?